Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Tonight, we are interviewing Mike Morrison, and I'm really looking forward to it, as we've been trying to pin each other down for quite a bit. He's a busy guy.
Yes, he is. We've been playing kind of phone tag. He's been promoting his first debut album, Missed the Boat. I'm looking forward to picking his brain about that and all things music.
Here's a little more about Mike. Missed the Boat is the latest album from baritone saxophonist Mike Morrison. It is now available on Lucky Buck Records. This album offers a fresh take on modern jazz, weaving together intricate melodies, deep grooves, and emotive improvisation in a powerful, highly personal release.
Featuring an all-star lineup of Dallas-Fort Worth's finest musicians, Missed the Boat is a collection of original compositions that reflects Morrison's diverse influences and years of experience as a performer, educator, and sideman.
Born and raised in Levelland, Texas, Morrison's musical journey began early, rooted in rich jazz tradition. He holds both a bachelor's and a master's degree in music performance, with an emphasis on jazz studies from the University of Texas at Arlington.
During his time at UTA, he performed with renowned artists such as Arturo Sandoval, John Faddis, and Bob Mincer, among others. He also served as a graduate teaching assistant in the Jazz Studies program, teaching jazz theory and combos, which helped refine his understanding of jazz and his connection to the music community.
Hey, musicians. Are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at Summer Lee Photo. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
So tonight we're welcoming Mike Morrison to the show. Hello, Mike. It's nice to see you and have you here.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. It's good to meet y'all.
Yeah. Tell us where you're coming to us from tonight.
I am in a suburb of Fort Worth, Texas called Haltom City, about 6 miles northeast of downtown Fort Worth.
Yeah. So we're going to just start picking your brain about music. And the first thing we want to ask is we know you've been involved in the jazz world for quite some time. We know you've taught and you're performing. Tell us about how you got involved in music to start.
Most of my friends anyway that got involved in music, it was an elective you could pick going from elementary school into middle school. And so, some of my friends were going to do shop and they were going to do, whatever. And I just, from growing up, my dad listening to classic rock back then and all the saxophone players that I heard, I'm like, I want to play saxophone. I don't know why, but it's just, it's a voice that I heard and thought, I want to play the saxophone. They teach that. So,
so
pick the saxophone.
You play baritone sax, is that correct?
Baritone saxophone probably 90% of the time.
Okay.
But started on alto. I teach classical alto saxophone. I just played in a Steely Dan tribute band Sunday night where I had to play tenor and baritone. So I kind of play all of them, but baritone is my voice. That's what I stick with most of the time.
Okay. Does it transfer over pretty easily? Like, do you find that you can adapt from one to the other pretty easily?
Yeah, the alto and the baritone are in the same key, so they're just an octave apart. The tenor's in a different key, but the fingerings are the same. So, it works out pretty good.
Very cool. I know nothing about saxophones. You know, all sorts of things. Okay. Actually, other than our dad played saxophone.
Yes, I was just about to say, our dad played saxophone in high school and college.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Oh, wow.
Since then, he hasn't played. So it wasn't around the house when we were there. He just told us that he played. But I love the saxophone. I think it's a beautiful instrument. But it's cool to pick the brain of somebody who is, that's their gig.
Yeah.
So, what do you feel like the hardest thing is about being a musician?
Oh, gosh. Being married, I'd say it's the hours that I have to keep. Because some months are pretty light. But then some months, like you go back to December, maybe even November, I was playing every night. like every single night, but I was also teaching every day. I'm a college professor, so sometimes I, me and my wife would just communicate via notes in the refrigerator because she'd leave food for me, and then well, I'd leave her a note by the coffee pot. And so,
Oh my
that's I think
gosh.
that's the hardest part for me now is trying to juggle the busy times, and then trying to get out and hustle during the slow times as well.
Yeah. So, can I ask what your wife does for a living?
She works at a cancer center. She's a front desk reception and a patient advocate at a cancer center,
Awesome.
and absolutely loves her job. And didn't know anything about music when we met. Like, had no idea about jazz, didn't listen to jazz music, nothing about it, but I've since changed her mind about it. So
I love it.
she's
I
now a
imagine that's,
listener.
yeah, I imagine that's tough because she work obviously she works during the day, so all your gigs are at night. Does she get to come to any of your gigs?
She does. The one I was talking about, on the Wednesdays when we had this set up and, I unfortunately couldn't make it. That's with a New Orleans band that I play with,
How
that was
fun.
started by a 90-year-old man, called the Bucket List Band. So we play music that he always wanted to play from the 19 teens to the 20s. He named it the Bucket List Band, and I just started by going out and listening to the band, but then I got asked to join the band, and he played all the way up until he's 101.
Oh
Yeah,
gosh, wow.
played trombone. Unfortunately, passed during COVID, but he was playing up till he passed away. He was
That
just
is
a legend.
some run. Yeah. Oh my
So
gosh.
my wife loves that type of music. Like, it's fun, New Orleans. Like, it's just kind of the stuff you'd hear in the streets in New Orleans.
Yeah,
So,
very cool.
that is awesome.
yeah.
So we know that this is your first album, solo album, that is
Yes.
out. Tell us what went into making the album and tell us about that process.
Well, we had recorded with Jason, just doing horn stuff. That's kind of how it started. And Jason Vandegrift with the Lord Baltimores, and he just loved the horn players so much. And he's like, we should do a jazz album with all you horn players. Do you have any original music? And so we're, well, yeah, of course we do. And so he's like, well, let's put it together and let's record. And so that's kind of how it came about.
Was there, so obviously other people played along with you. Did you pick who was going to play, or how did that process go?
Well, I knew I wanted to do a trio, just bass, drums, and saxophone, and get like a harmonic instrument out of the way, because I love playing that way. And so he let me pick who I wanted to play with. Now, the two guys on the recording, I think the drummer, we all know each other, but I never really play. I think I played one gig with him. The bass player I'd never played with before, but I knew him and he knew me. And so Matt Young, Mike Luzecki, they're just two of the top players like in the world. I mean, Matt Young, I think he was touring with Bob Belden when Bob Belden was alive. He was one of the just great jazz names that was out there. So I was lucky to have him. And we just kind of talked over all the music the day of in the studio. This is kind of what I want. This is kind of how this tune goes. And I don't think we did more than two takes of any one of the songs.
That's cool. I was going to ask you how long that process took. Was it several days or?
It was one day. It
Wow.
was one day, maybe from about 10 till 5 in the afternoon.
Wow. And did you record it all in Texas?
All in Texas at a studio in Argyle, Texas, which is a little
Oh,
bit
wow.
north of here. It's a little cabin out in the woods.
Oh, cool.
So
Very, what
very
a fun
great. That's
experience.
it was great. It was great.
So when you're writing songs, how do you kind of see a song from start to finish? Like, where do your ideas come from?
Well, it's a little misleading when I'm like, yeah, yes, do you have any original music? We're like, sure, yeah, I have tons of original music. But I had one original song. And so as the date got closer, I was feeling the pressure, like, I've got to write some
Oh.
music. I really need to write some music. And so finally, it was on a Sunday. I was just like, I'm locking myself in my office and I'm going to write some tunes and just see how they go. And so that's what I did. And it just, I don't know if it's divine intervention or what, but the music just kind of came to me. The title track is a what we call a contrafact, which is it's the same chord changes to a well-known jazz standard, but it's a different melody. And so
Okay.
I like to do that on some tunes. That's what kind of the bebop players in the 40s did. They would take well-known harmonic chord changes and then change the melody, write a whole new melody to it. And it's a way to get around copyright and
Yeah.
have a whole fresh new tune. And so that's what I did with the title track anyway, Missed the Boat.
That is new. That's something I learned new.
Oh,
I did
yeah.
not know that's what it was called.
No, I've not either.
Yeah.
I've heard of that like idea of how,
Process.
yes, process. Thank you. But yeah, I didn't know it had a name. So now I've also learned
Yeah.
that. That's a
Yeah.
fact. That's right. So what are you currently working on?
Right now I'm working on, there's a really great baritone saxophonist out of New York. His name is Jason Marshall, and he's just one of the top players in the world. And so there's a jazz club here in Fort Worth that's one of the best jazz clubs in the world, the Scat Jazz Lounge. And so I play there frequently, and they're getting into the idea that they want kind of theme nights. And so I'm working on, having, two full sets of just Jason Marshall's music. And so I got to try it out the last time I played there. And so I'm just diving more and more into his music and putting
Oh.
together sets of music. And in addition to writing more, so in case the opportunity comes up to record again, I'm not frantically trying to get some music together. So,
I'm just amazed by that, though. You're like, I'm just going
Yes.
to sit down and write an album. I think that's
Well,
pretty darn cool.
I don't know. I was really scared and thought I've got to come up with something. And it wasn't just like everything that went down was great. It was an all day kind of, I got to get some stuff together.
My
Now,
gosh.
as a professor, you should know that cramming is not the way to go.
Yeah,
That is
I think
true.
I might have said that to my students once or twice, but yeah, so
Oh my
It
gosh.
happens,
It
right?
it
Does.
does, it
Or
does, and it did.
deadlines.
Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
So when you're not busy with music, where would we find you? What kinds of things do you like to do?
Me and my wife, we like to go out to East Texas. It's kind of the Piney Woods, and we like to go out there and camp. Like to go fishing and just kind of hike trails out there and just kind of relax and get away from the city. It can be kind of a grind. I always talk about my job being, where the hours are odd and they're long, but emotionally, I think her job is so much harder than
Oh.
what I have to deal with. And so it's good to be that support for her and get away to try and not have to think about all that all the time. Maybe, get a release from that, because that's what I do is easy compared to that.
Unplugging a little bit.
Yes,
Yes, totally get
Absolutely.
that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we're going to ask you the four
Yes.
questions that we ask everyone who comes on our show. They're
Uh-oh.
kind of fun. The first
Okay.
one is, what is your first gig? And what is your favorite gig so far?
Ooh, I remember my first gig. I had just moved, like I grew up out in the panhandle of Texas, kind of out in a cotton growing town out there. And so nobody listened to jazz out there. I don't know how I ever heard it, but I heard it. It stuck. I had to get out of there, come to the big city. So I finally got called to play with this orchestra. It was called the Gary Lee Orchestra. I don't even know if he's around anymore, but I was so excited. Like, all right, I'm gonna get to play tenor on this gig. And I go, and he's an accordion player with kind of a big band, and just like maybe not the most musically fulfilling music I've ever played in my life. And so it was a very strange game. And we were playing for really old people that were dancing, and the song Candyman, it's like a really old song. I remember playing to that thinking, what am I doing here? This is not a whole lot of fun at all. But it
My
was a
gosh.
great learning experience. So that maybe not my favorite gig, but my first gig. And I don't know, my favorite gig. Well, It's a toss up. I get to play with the Temptations and Four Tops quite a bit when they come through
Oh,
town.
wow.
I love playing with them, but my favorite one has to be getting called to do horn section work with Don Henley on his 70th birthday. So we
Oh,
played the American
cool.
Airlines Center, and we didn't know, but he had called in most of all the Eagles, Stevie Nicks. It was a just star-studded
My
thing.
gosh.
And so that
That
was probably my favorite.
I
that's
can see why.
fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so who would you say are your influences?
Oh boy. Cannonball Adderley on the saxophone. Julian Cannonball Adderley. He had a, one of his songs called Arriving Soon. That's what Missed the Boat comes from. That's the contrafact I
Okay.
wrote based on his song Arriving Soon. But Cannonball Adderley for sure. Charlie Parker, the great bebop saxophonist. Pepper Adams, the great baritone saxophonist. Pretty much anybody that I hear playing the saxophone. And I can remember all the rock and roll saxophone players that don't seem to get a whole lot of credit, but there were certainly influences on me from a little kid when I didn't even play saxophone. My dad would listen to the Doobie Brothers or Pink Floyd and just all the classics that had saxophone involved with them. And that's the first time hearing that voice, and I'm like, well, I gotta play that. So,
I love that.
yeah. Alto Reed from the Bob Seger band. I remember him. I was like, what a cool name.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so what are you currently listening to on repeat?
That would be a Jason Marshall song called Hard Times, made famous by David Fathead Newman. And so, but I just can't listen to, over and over, I'm listening to this song, Hard Times by Jason Marshall. He's so soulful. Just a master of the baritone sax, and I'll sit and play it over and over, just trying to capture every nuance that he's getting out of the horn. So much so that I know I'm driving people crazy here in the house, so I have to stop.
Well, it's kind of your assignment right now, though. So
Yes.
it's
Yeah,
so it
yeah.
makes sense that you would listen to them on repeat.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So this will be special since you are also a teacher. What advice would you give to new musicians and songwriters?
Well, it's one that I give this advice quite a bit, and it's because I've known musicians for a long time, and the ones, hang out with musicians that are better than you always. And probably the best thing that you could do is listen. So if jazz or improvisational music is the genre that you want to play and perform in, you better be listening constantly. I mean, it's a language. And so
Yeah.
you got to listen to it so that when you speak it, it makes sense instead of you're just speaking a bunch of stuff that makes no sense. So you definitely have to listen. That's how we learned how to communicate with one another. And it took
Right.
how many years? I always ask my sax students, how many years did it take you to be able to tell your parents coherently that you were hungry
Yeah.
instead of
Yeah,
just
fair enough.
screaming?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
That's great. That's
That is
great
spot on
advice.
advice, and it helps me to think about we're learning the guitar,
Yep.
and it's been very difficult and
Yes.
challenging. And I keep telling myself I should be better than I am right now, but it takes time because you're right, it's a language.
Yeah,
And
it
it
does.
definitely isn't going to be something that you're going to pick up overnight, especially if you don't practice.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, practice. That's a good, that's a given. If you're going to get into music, you better be practicing
Yep.
nonstop.
Yep.
Yep.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
So we would love it if you would share a song with our listeners. Tell us the name and tell us a little bit about it.
The ballad that I had on my recording called Diana, it's a tribute to my sister. And so that was one that is very special to me. She was very special to me. We lost her in 1996. And I wrote this. This is the one song that I had ready to go, is the other ones that I had to write. And so this one was together. And what's so interesting about the other two, the bass and the drums, when we went to record this, this was a one take song. We played through it one time. And we all stopped and looked at each other when we were done. We're like, we really don't need to do anything else to this. This is
That's
perfect the way it
fantastic.
is. And so that's the one I would say off of my recording.
Awesome.
Love
Well,
it.
thank you for sharing that. That's
Yes. Yeah.
amazing. That's
Yes.
amazing. From two sisters,
Yes.
we appreciate that. Yeah.
So now it's time for your shameless plug. Where can we find your, do you have a website? Do you have any social media presence? Anything that you want to share?
The website is a work in progress now. So you can go to luckybuckrecords.com, which I am an artist for, and click on the link under my name and it'll take you to my Instagram. And then anything that, like, if you'd like a recording, anything there, you can definitely message me there and we can get that to you. And you can find out a little bit more about the other Lucky Buck artists as well.
Very cool.
Very cool. Well, sir, thank you so much for taking this time to meet with us today and chat about music. We love it. And this was so inspirational.
Yes.
Appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was really, really cool. I appreciate it too. Thank you.
I got to talk to Mike finally after we canceled. He had to cancel. We had to cancel. He had to cancel. It was just sort of a crazy time.
And yes. So, and he had gigs and we totally understand that. We're stoked we got to talk to him.
Yes. And super excited about his album. Everyone should check it out.
It's neat to hear a perspective of someone who is not like... is musical only. And yes, I think I said that solely, the last time I talked to somebody. It's kind of neat to just get that different perspective that they don't write lyrics.
Yeah. And hearing that he was like, oh, I have this one song and now I have to create all the songs for the album. And he wrote them all in one day.
I'm
still astonished.
Yeah. So thank you again, Mike. It was such a pleasure. And we will see you down the road.
Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast, and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.